You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. As the United States continues to build a wall between itself and Mexico, some of the most extraordinary stories go underreported. For example, those of the nearly 100,000 children apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol each year trying to enter this country. Many of them are without family or friends, not to mention food or much money, and have traveled the length of Mexico atop dangerous freight trains. Filmmaker Rebecca Camisa followed several of these children on their dangerous journey through Mexico and tells their stories in her new and superb documentary, Which Way Home. The film premieres tonight, August 24th at 9 p.m. on HBO, and I'm very pleased to welcome Rebecca Camisa to the show today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, I have to tell you, as I told you when you came in, I was just expecting to sit and watch just a little bit of it, and I was riveted by the story of these young children who are coming from Honduras and Guatemala and making their way through Mexico. So how did you meet them, and how did you gain their trust to allow you to film them on this incredible journey?
Well, we had gone down to Mexico earlier to scout to see what the situation was on the ground, what exactly the migrants' experience was, and where the journey began. So with the children you're specifically referring to, Kevin and Fito, who mm-hmm. we met who were taking the train, we literally went to a starting point where the freight trains start, and that's where they were. They were waiting along the tracks like every other migrant, mm-hmm. waiting for the train to leave.
And the starting point is that point there, Guatemala to Mexico. Is my geography right?
Yeah, well, most people think, whenever you talk about the border, it's always mm-hmm. the U.S.-Mexico border.
Right.
But for many migrants from Central America, the journey begins on the Guatemalan-Mexican border.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at one point in time, people would just cross over into Mexico from Guatemala, and the trains would start right in Tapachula,
mm-hmm.
which is a city not too far away from the border. But after hurricane hit, that changed everything. So the new starting point in Chiapas for trains was in the town of Arriaga, which is literally a 10-day walk, could be a week to 10-day walk from Tapachula. So the migrants that made it to Arriaga either somehow took buses and got through or walked.
Mm-hmm.
So we met these children farther up into Chiapas.
You talked about the two who you initially met, but you must have seen hundreds, thousands of children. How did you zero in on those two?
Well, I wouldn't say there were hundreds and thousands of children at one particular time.
Right.
There have been, certainly. But most of the migrants who take this really dangerous journey on those freight trains are adults. However, there are children. We've seen quite a bit of them, quite a few of them, actually. So when we got there and we were really looking around and seeing, are there children here? Are there kids under the age of 15? And we very soon saw these kids. They saw us. We looked different to them. They came up. They were naturally curious.
Mm-hmm.
They asked us what we were doing there. They asked us if we were migrants. And we said, no, we're filmmakers, and we're doing a film about child migrants who are trying to get north. And, of course, they said, we are. We're going. And we talked with them, told them what we were doing, and said to them, if you're interested in being filmed, we cannot support you, we cannot transport you, we cannot pay for you, we cannot take responsibility for you, but we're really here to document the journey. They felt very open and very trusting with us from the beginning. And as soon as we talked to them and felt that their comfort level was okay, we immediately said, okay, we now need to talk to your parents. Where are your parents? Are they in the States? Are they in Central America? Where are they? They told us where their parents were. We were able to get the phone numbers and call them and ask their permission and tell them what we were doing.
Hmm.
And the parents agreed. So we were able to film them.
So a lot of this was filmed atop freight trains.
I wouldn't say a lot of the film. I mean, in the edit, the spine mm-hmm. of the film, really, that structure,
right.
is that train, that moving forward, even if some children have come back dead or some children are stuck and detained and are being sent
mm-hmm.
back. We also have this forward momentum in the film of children who are actively traveling north.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it feels like the train, we
like
were on the trains for
on
a very
train.
Long time, we certainly were, and it's just far too dangerous. It's a really violent atmosphere. It's very dangerous. And during the course of filming, we really constantly reminded these children how dangerous it was and warned them and talked to them and said, listen, you don't have to go. If you want to go home, if you're tired, we'll help you get home. We'll call authorities and you'll be able to go home. We wanted them to feel like they had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd already come with such dreams that mm-hmm. they wanted to fulfill that they just kept telling us, shut up, stop scaring us. We're going anyway. And they went about it.
How hard was it to film children who are undertaking this incredible and dangerous journey and watch them get into, I don't know, all sorts of really not good situations and not do something or anything beyond just saying, you know, maybe, you know, you can turn around. You do have choices and options.
Well, I mean, these are their lives. It's not like we met these children. We'd known them for years and we were part of their lives. These were people we met on the road.
Mm-hmm.
These were their lives. This is the decision they made. And it wasn't our place to step in and control their lives. I mean, we did what we could. We wanted to make them feel they had choices and make them aware of the dangers and be very specific and explicit about what those dangers are and what other migrants have suffered. But, you know, our jobs are as documentarians. We're mm-hmm. there to show what's going on so that hopefully the situation can be remedied or changed. I think once you start getting involved in deciding what people are going to do or stepping in, you're not a documentarian anymore. You've taken on another role.
Right.
And also, quite frankly, I don't believe it's my place to step in and start controlling another person's life, a person who I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and we're talking with Rebecca Camisa, whose terrific documentary, Which Way Home, premieres tonight on HBO, so at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Be sure to say the time.
Yes.
So there you are on these freight trains, not all the time as I thought, but you're on the freight trains. Did you get permission from the train companies or authorities to ride on top of the trains with the show? Because I know from watching the film, you know, everyone, they're running and they're jumping on these trains and riding on top, trying not to be seen. So how were you able to do that?
Well, there were times when we got permissions. I mean, we started off, we were very lucky. We had gotten permission from Mexican immigration to be able to go to the detention centers, mm-hmm. Detention centers to visit children or film children and see what the situation was. We also got permission from train companies at certain times getting on their trains and scouting and seeing the location and really getting a sense of what this problem is. I think train companies were open to this because, you know, their job is to carry freight. And this mass exodus of migrants jumping their trains is a real problem for them. They did whatever they could to control it or stop this from happening. But they are not equipped to man their freight trains.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a federal issue. So I think in the beginning they were open to this. I will say that we had permissions and then they were taken away mm-hmm. and given and taken away. So sometimes we did and sometimes mm-hmm. we didn't.
Were you ever, you and your crew, ever in any serious danger, either physically or from authorities?
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what people may not understand is migrants are big business down there. There's human smuggling networks. There's, you know, people make money off of migrants along their trip north. They're going on a very long journey. They, you know, there's a lot of robberies. There's actually, I mean, we've heard so many stories of corrupt officials from many different, you know, municipalities hitting the trains or robbing migrants or even holding them for ransom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were taking our cameras and going into a world where there are a lot of criminal networks. And I can't imagine they'd be too happy to have cameras around for too long.
Right.
So what we did was we were very careful and very specific about what we were filming, and we stuck to it. We told people we were filming children and their migration path, and that's what we did. But yeah, there were times when people didn't know who we were. They felt threatened, so they threatened our lives. They threatened to do all kinds of things to us. But at the same time, there were also people that saw us along the routes and stepped up to protect us or say, you know, stop hassling them, leave them alone. Either way, we always acted safely and carefully, mm-hmm. but you are naturally going to come up against danger
right.
in a situation where it's dangerous.
Wait, how many people, it was yourself and how many other people were with you? It was part of your crew.
We had a driver that always shadowed us or
right.
drove where we were. We also, it was myself, a cameraman, and a sound person.
Wow. And so you mentioned earlier about how you, along the way, would say to the children, you know, you have options, you can go home. Then in the film, you show at least a couple of times where there were people along the route, you know, those transfer points saying, hey, you know, it's dangerous. There's the desert. There's this, there's that. You know, in the United States, all hell will break loose if you show up and, you know,
is death itself.
Yes, yes. And then the person asks, so how many of you still want to go? And all the hands go up. Despite hearing all of that, they still want to come here. Why is that?
Well, we did, you know, there's a lot of footage that obviously doesn't appear in the film. It's an 83-minute film. But, you know, we have tons of footage speaking to people, whether they be children or adult migrants, talking about what they're leaving behind and why it's so absolutely necessary that they come north. One person, her husband was dying. He needs an operation. She figured she could at least attempt it to get the money to pay for him. You know, mm-hmm. People have very desperate, you know, there are a lot of people who live in poverty who don't have a lot. There's nothing left for them in their countries. They're desperate. So they take this journey. So yes, even though you may die crossing the Sonora Desert, you may get to the United States and be mistreated or whatever mm-hmm. was being sermonized in that one scene. What doesn't change is the absolute necessity that they succeed for their families back home who are waiting for them. So the need is greater than any rational thought about personal survival.
Mm-hmm.
They're really not on the road for personal survival. They're on the road for their family survival.
There was a great, I took notes, and of course I left the notes on my desk at home. but the woman who wouldn't allow herself to be filmed, she's in the United States, and she had this beautiful line, heartbreaking, about how, you know, when you leave your family to basically go make money and bring it and send it back, you lose your love for your children. And how it's hard to, it's not there anymore once you're, if you're reunited with them. She spoke so eloquently about that. Did you find that to be perhaps a widespread feeling that these families?
I'm sure it is. I've spoken to several families who are in the United States who kind of live shadow lives. You know, if you notice, you know, she doesn't have her face shown for fear
right.
of potential deportation. But I was actually surprised at her reaction. You know, the question was it worth it? And I actually thought she was going to say, of course, but it was the opposite. She said, it isn't. You lose the love of your family. Yeah. I lost my daughter's love. We've never gotten close ever again. And I think that's, you know, that was heartbreaking for me to hear that after how many years in this country, she actually says it wasn't worth it after all.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, this is the price. This is what she says, I believe. This is the price we women pay to be here.
What
do you say to that?
Yeah. The name of the film is Which Way Home. The documentarian is Rebecca Cavissa. And for anyone, it's tonight at 9 o'clock on HBO. And for anyone who thinks that the story of immigrants coming through Mexico into the United States is an easy journey and one that's taken lightly, will be very surprised when they see this movie.
Yes.
Thank you.